In the run-up to the key UN climate conference in Paris at the end of this year, experts are working to pave the way for a new global climate agreement in what seems to be a never-ending series of conferences and consultations. In Paris itself, climate scientists from all around the globe met last week for a stocktaking of the scientific evidence on climate change and its impacts to feed into the December summit. Amongst them was Professor Stefan Rahmstorf, a world-leading ocean physicist at Germany's Potsdam Institute for Climate Impact Research. I talked to him when he got back and asked him first where we stand from the scientific point of view.
Well, the news from climate science in recent years has unfortunately been quite bad. We have seen, for example, that very likely at least a part of the Western Arctic ice sheet has been destabilized. There is also indication that the ocean currents in the North Atlantic are already slowing down. That was a scenario that has been feared since the 1980s, and that seems to be now coming true. And of course, we see a strong rise of extreme events around the planet, especially heat waves, but also an increase in extreme rainfall events.
So what would you say are the implications of this final stocktaking ahead of the key Paris negotiations?
It shows that the climate problem is more urgent than ever. But on the other hand, the conference also looked at the solutions, and there the news is good. We now are much more optimistic about being able to reduce our emissions and limit global warming to below 2 degrees, for example, because of the stunning success story of renewable energies, which already in a few decades could supply almost all of the world's energy needs.
Now, there have been stunning new developments, but are they being put into practice in time to keep to that 2-degree level or even to the 1.5 degrees, which some scientists are telling us would really be the safest upper limit for global warming?
Indeed, a major review ahead of the climate summit in December has shown and has clearly recommended that it would be better to limit warming to close to 1.5 degrees, rather 2 degrees, because, for example, of the risk of crossing dangerous tipping points. Now, the question of whether the political will is there to actually do that is, of course, a difficult one. I feel that the political will recently and during this year has increased, and I am cautiously optimistic that the Paris Climate Summit in December will reach a meaningful agreement, not necessarily one that guarantees that we will stay below 2 degrees global warming, but one that will be seen in hindsight as a real turning point from where emissions started to fall soon after.
So how quickly and to what extent would those emissions have to fall for us to meet the 1.5 degree target?
Well, the emissions would have to be close to zero by mid-century, so we are clearly not talking about some smaller or cosmetic adjustments. We are really talking about a transformation of our energy system. We call that decarbonization, which means getting out of the carbon-based energy system that we have had so far. And the good news is that indeed the technologies to do that are available. It is all a matter of mustering the political will and, of course, fighting the particular interests that are opposing this transformation.
Let's come back just for a second to the science. You mentioned tipping points. What exactly are we talking about when we speak of climate tipping points?
These are points of no return where you cannot stop a process that has been set into motion. It's a bit analogous to the situation where you're sitting in a rowing boat and you lean over a bit to one side and not very much happens. You lean over a bit more and then a tipping point comes where the boat simply tips over. And we know of a number of these tipping points. For example, our continental ice sheets have these points of no return where their further meltdown basically becomes inevitable and unstoppable. And we have to realize that we have enough continental ice on this planet to raise global sea levels by more than 60 meters. And that means we cannot even afford to lose a very small fraction of that ice, without drowning coastal cities and small island nations.
Now, as far as the ocean is concerned, and the sea level rise in particular, you and some colleagues have just published a new study looking at changes in the past caused by shrinking of the polar ice sheets, with some rather worrying results.
Basically, we have summarized the findings of many years of paleoclimatic research, reconstructing past temperatures and past sea levels over the millions of years. And there have been natural warm periods in the past, which only have been a little bit, 1 or 2 degrees centigrade warmer than the present. But these have already come with at least 6 meters higher sea levels, which just shows how sensitive the climate system is and how sensitive the sea level responds to climate changes of a similar magnitude as we are causing them now due to our greenhouse gas emissions.
So where would a 6 meter sea level rise leave us today?
Well, there would be quite a number of large coastal cities that I cannot imagine could still be defended with such a sea level rise. I mean, think of New York City, for example, or Miami, of course, would be one of the first cities to go. And there is quite a few others, St. Petersburg or Alexandria, Manila, you name them. I mean, once you're talking about meters of sea level rise, the consequences would be quite catastrophic.
So how fast do you think that could happen?
Of course, sea level is already rising. It has risen about 20 centimeters globally since the late 19th century due to the modern global warming, which is very basic physics. It is melting continental ice sheets, and also the oceans are being heated up, which expands the ocean water because warm water takes up more space. And by the year 2100, with unmitigated emissions, we are looking at up to 1 meter of global sea level rise, which already for vulnerable coastal areas like delta regions like Bangladesh, for example, will dramatically increase the storm surge risk. But sea level rise will not stop in the year 2100 because the ice sheets are actually quite slow to melt. And within the next decades, we would be causing a long-term sea level rise commitment by several meters for every degree of global warming that we cause. The key point is that the sooner we stop global warming, the better the chances are that we avoid future critical tipping points.